on the panel. Steve McCabe joining us shortly. The Ministry of Social Development says a private company was hired to look into the security of its self-service kiosks that we've been hearing a bit about today. But this private company failed to spot a security breach. Information about children in the care of Child, Youth and Family, beneficiaries and contractors employed by the ministry. It's been freely accessible through public computer kiosks at work and income offices. Freelance journalist and blogger Keith Ng has revealed he was able to download 7,000 documents from the network through the kiosks set up for job seekers. Well, you know that something's wrong with databases, don't you? Because we were continually assured about 4 or 5 years ago when they were all being set up, you know, how secure they would be. You know that something's wrong when we hear stories like this.
It's a disaster, isn't it? It's almost inconceivable. The blog post that Keith Ng broke the story on at Public Address, there's a lot of really interesting commentary by a lot of people who are sort of experts in network security and so forth. And from what they seem to be suggesting, not only was it a relatively straightforward job for anyone with a modicum of computer nous to get in, but it sounds like their entire system is seriously flawed. It's almost like there's almost no security at all anywhere within the network, which is somewhat concerning. You kind of wonder what they're paying their contractors for.
Well, is it much of an explanation to say that we employed an outside contractor to check into it all?
Well, you would hope that there'd be some project managers within MSD who would have the ability to at least check up on what their work is. And as part of any good IT system, there's usually a sort of an acceptance test procedure where you kind of sit down, the vendor and the customer or the client sits down and goes through a testing process. And maybe MSD as the client didn't sit through that process. I don't know. They should have picked this up.
I'll ask Steve about that. You would think a rudimentary testing process would have picked this up.
Yeah, I guess we don't know for sure as yet who's to blame and what's happened and how it's happened. We know that it's happened, but it just seems odd that it could have happened under any sort of properly managed process.
The Beneficiary Advocacy Federation says it was aware of this quite a while ago, and maybe it's been well known. So then you might ask the question, why has it only surfaced now when some new proposals from the minister have come out? Well, I don't know, that might be more of a political question than any conspiracy.
I genuinely don't think there's a conspiracy there. I think Keith Ng, he's a blogger and he was tipped off by someone he knew that there was this issue. He went and investigated and, lo and behold, look what he found. I don't think there's a political angle.
But even if there were, and your surmise is correct, it doesn't escape the flat fact that it was all accessible, does it? That's the thing. He shouldn't have been able to find anything.
No,
well, that's one of the paradoxes, of course, in this sort of age where we demand a lot of information and ease of using computers and databases should be available to do the job they obviously set up these kiosks to do. But you don't expect it to have a whole lot of other information and the fault obviously lies in the way the system was set up and tested and so on. And to be honest, even the chief executive, who ought to and should know, probably has no idea what's going on in the IT area unless they're an expert.
It's certainly taking the idea of open government a new step, isn't it?
Well, a lot of people have argued, of course, that there's no privacy these days and everything should be there and available.
Yeah.
And on Facebook and these sort of places, people do give away a lot of their privacy, except, of course, when it might be quite sensitive.
A texter is saying, I can't tell because
your IT systems.
You've been hacked.
The screen just went black. I've got it back now. A texter is just saying, what happened to just telling the department about the problem rather than going straight to the media, which I suppose was the more dignified way of doing it in the old days. But would we, do you think, before I get Steve on, would we have ever have heard about the problem if the department had simply been informed?
Well, they'd been informed 12 months ago, according to, it was on Morning Report this morning. They were told 12 months ago by an advocacy group, and they apparently did little or nothing about it. So, if Keith Ng had told them and said, hey, this is what's happened, sort it out, rather than posted something on his blog, would anything have changed?
Technology correspondent and panellist with us, of course, Steve McCabe, kindly joining us. Steve, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Have you got any kind of grasp on what's happened here from what you've been able to ascertain?
I've been going through Keating's blog post forensically and trying to figure out what on earth must have happened. And it seems to me that this is not a mistake. It seems that there's been a whole sequence of astonishingly bad decisions made in the way that things have been managed, in the way that data is being stored, in the way it's being accessed. And that this could have been solved simply by doing a number of different things. A whole raft of mistakes have been made that have led to this point. It's a mess.
We have an emailer today, among various emails, saying the technical difficulty of accessing this sensitive information was the equivalent of using the file menu, open command, then clicking on My Network Places.
And by all accounts, that's precisely what it was. This is something that Keating apparently did deliberately, but your average user could quite easily have done purely by chance.
So why, there are basic questions, and I know you probably can't answer them all, but we'll ask them anyway. Why are highly sensitive files stored on a part of the network that's accessible like this?
Well, I think we need to recast the question very slightly. Why is it that the entire network seems to have been made accessible? It seems like a good network should be, if you like, segmented. It should be in zones, and there should be different access privileges and different permissions for different users for each of those different zones, so that the more sensitive the information, the more on a need-to-know basis it would be, and apparently that's what we're dealing with here, the more tightly controlled it should be. And so the lower downs in the organization can see a very small amount, the higher ups can see a much broader amount, and they should be very, very tightly compartmentalized. It seems, from what we can see, the impression we're getting is that great big swathes of the network are simply wide open to everyone.
But you'd expect them to be password protected, encrypted, whatever we lay people expect of this degree of secret file.
You would expect, yes.
Okay, well, you've answered that question. And also, why is the data, do you think, held in text files, not some other form of database?
That's one of the first questions that I came up with. There's a ferociously obvious issue. First of all, the data is basically being put out. If this was a physical environment, it's like, say, instead of having a public lobby and then a private set of offices behind locked doors, you've got one great big room and a desk with a sign saying, "Don't look over here, please." And the file's laid out on top of it. That's the level of security we've got. The next thing is, instead of having everything sort of neatly laid out in a filing structure, it's just laid out in a great big sheet of paper. This is basically the computer equivalent of keeping your notes on the back of an envelope, really. I have no idea why it would be that, as Keating refers to, he says there's 3,500 files, and it makes it sound like these are distinct files, not some sort of structured database. So, frankly, if MSD have paid a lot of money to have this system established, they might want to talk about getting a refund, because this is not a very good system, assuming that that's how these files are being kept primarily. If, on the other hand, and unfortunately we don't know this, is a supposition at the moment, if there is a database from which these files have for some reason been exported, and sometimes you'll do that, you'll need to get a data dump that can then be printed out for whatever reason.
Yeah.
If that's happened, why are those files persisting on the network? If it's that sensitive, and clearly it is, you export the files, do what you need to do with them, and then you delete them. And as long as they do exist, they should be, first of all, encrypted, so that if they are opened up, they can't be read easily. And secondly, they should also be password protected to stop them from being opened up in the first place. And it seems like none of these steps has been taken.
That makes eminent sense, you would think, Steve.
You would think,
but
yes.
In terms of your notion of a data dump that then was not rescinded,
yes,
would that also accord with the fact that they hired Dimension Data to test the security of the kiosks prior to Keating coming along and reporting no problems? Because you would think that these problems are so elementary that that wouldn't be possible.
Well, it very much depends on exactly what it was that the company tested. If you're testing simply the machine itself and the activities that are conducted on the machine, then maybe that's secure. And even apparently that, there were questions being raised. I was listening to the report on 9 to noon this morning, where the lady from the beneficiaries group was saying that a year ago they were starting to raise questions about whether or not people's email information, customers' email information, was lingering on these computers. That question was being raised back then, and presumably that's the level at which this was addressed. It sounds like nobody ever bothered to look at what would be happening in the inward-facing aspect of it. Everyone was focusing on what the user experience would be like, and nobody ever stopped to think, well, hang on a second, what about how things are going upstream?
It makes you wonder how long this, you know, this public-facing doorway of theirs has been unlocked and potentially vulnerable.
We've been extraordinarily vulnerable, and it sounds to me like the entire thing has been very, very badly designed. Another question that comes to mind, the way that Keating managed to get his data out of the place was he spent 2.5 hours with a USB drive plugged into the kiosk. And there's so many questions that even that act has to raise. First of all, why on earth are there publicly accessible USB ports on these kiosks?
Yeah, that's a very good question.
They should be either physically removed. If there are ports in the computer terminal, remove them, open up the case, whip them out, put a plastic plate in the port so that there's no USB ports accessible. If you can't do that, then build a plastic or a metal casing that masks them. There is no reason to have exposed USB ports here. But he managed to get them. He could put any files he wants to onto the network. Presumably he didn't. But there's enormous vulnerabilities from top to bottom here.
We don't know yet what it illustrates, but the Labour Party is describing it as a culture of failing to care for people's personal information, which I suppose is stating the obvious in a sense. But from what we know so far, what do you think it does illustrate? I suppose it's not a totally answerable question.
It shows that somehow when this system was installed, and we're making a huge assumption here, first of all, to be fair, we have to assume that when the system was installed and when it was tested, this vulnerability existed. It's entirely possible that the problem arose when a more centralized setting was changed on the overall server system, and that simply then opened up a loophole that has been exploited. It's entirely possible when these kiosks were installed that loophole didn't exist, and so the kiosks couldn't exploit them. But what it does show is that somebody at MSD, whoever is running this system, really needs to be monitoring their system much more closely. And we need to be assured that loopholes likely to be plugged better. What concerns me is that the Herald, I think it was reporting that this is apparently an old system that needs upgrading, and that's understood, but that's not being made a priority.
From your analysis, it's also possible, is it, that it was a deliberate data dump?
Well, it's entirely possible. Like I said, we don't know. There's two possibilities. Either this is how they store the data natively, in which case that strikes me as being a remarkably clunky and cumbersome way of doing things. Alternatively, it could have been a deliberate data dump. People do this from time to time, often because they need a printout of the data, for example, or they just simply need a subset of the data that needs to be manipulated in a very particular way. That's conceivable. If that's the case, why was that particular file or that set of files allowed to linger on the server?
Yeah. Steve McCabe, thank you very much for your expertise today.